Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I thank you that you truly are the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. And I ask you, Father, to just let your light so shine that men would see your good works and would glorify your Father in heaven. I thank you for what you're going to do here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I lift the name of Jesus above all others, and I just thank you, Father, because you surely are worthy of it. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. My sermon is going to be a little bit different this morning. The title to my sermon is The Story of the Resurrection from the Old Testament. Okay? And a lot of times we don't realize that God told, even in the Old Testament, he told the things that he was going to do. And there's a lot of truth back there. And my first scripture is Genesis 22, 1 and 2. And says, and this is talking about Abraham. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Now I'm going to pause right there. And you know, I've read that scripture many, many times. And I've seen that name Moriah. And I never check into finding out what it meant. And when the Lord brought me to this scripture today, he had me look up the meaning of Moriah. And, you know, we know it was a mountain range in Israel. And it was, some people believe it's where the temple was built. Some people believe it was where Jesus was crucified. They believe a lot of different things. But I'm going to tell you what the name Moriah means. It comes from two words. And it means to see God. I'm going to send you to a place where you're going to see God. And he offered him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. You know, Jesus told the children of Israel one time, he was talking to them, and he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, well, how could Abraham have seen your day? You're just 30 years old. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And I want you to know that when God sent him to Moriah, and you know, we kind of glaze over these words sometimes when we're reading scripture, but the Hebrew people knew what those names meant, because it was their language. And they knew that it meant to see God. Or they should have known anyway. It was in their language. And I'm going to read to you a little bit more. And it says here, I'm going to read it again. In Genesis 22, 1 through 14, it says now. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell thee. You know, I told you years ago one time, and I've told you this a couple times. Years ago one time, I was in an elders meeting, a little bit of contention in this many years ago. It's been a long time ago. And I came out of the elders meeting, and I got in my car, and I don't know what was coming over me, but I didn't do nothing but praise the Lord on the way home. I just kept praising the Lord. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Abraham was a type of the Father. Isaac was a type of the Son. Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. And, you know, I probably should have went ahead and tried to write a poem about that, but I didn't. But I did go back into the Old Testament and start studying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what I found when I got in the Old Testament and began to study, that Abraham, who was, as what God spoke to me, was a type of the father, that Abraham was told that he was going to be the father of many nations. And we know that when Jesus, they asked Jesus one time, Lord, teach us how to pray. And what was the first words that he taught them in that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I'm going to stop it right there. But I want you to know the first thing he taught them was to approach God as our Father. So I began to understand what he was talking about when he said, study into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then when I got to Isaac, I started thinking, now, what did Isaac do? And I started reading through the scriptures, and I read and I read and I read. And I knew that Isaac went and he got him a wife, you know, and he ended up having some children. His wife's name, I believe it was Rachel. He went and he found her. And you know, when when he found her, they had some children. And Rachel was barren, we know that. But I want you to know that only thing that I could find when I started looking into Isaac was, Isaac's name means laughter. And I thought, okay, Lord, what are you talking about it meaning laughter? And there's a scripture says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellow. And you know, I've heard people talk about many, many times, Debbie and Denise, when they go out into restaurants and they're sitting there, all you got to do is walk in the restaurant and you can find them because they're laughing and carrying on and having a good time when they're together. And I've noticed that over the years, anytime that I would go to meet somebody to have dinner with them or something like that, that those guys were always joyous, always laughing, always carrying on, you know. And and you could find them the minute you walked in the restaurant. All you got to do is find the laughter and head in that direction, you know, and there they were. But what I noticed about Isaac was all that Isaac did in the scriptures, the only thing he did, he went and found all of the wells that his father before him, Abraham, had dug, and that the enemies had filled them up with dirt and tried to close them off. And that's all he did, was he redug the wells of his father. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of water. You know, I want you to know you're a well of God. And he sent Jesus to redig the dirt out of you so that those rivers of living water could begin to flow out to creation. And anyway, that's all that he did. And I found about Jacob, and I looked at Jacob, and I thought, okay. And boy, when I started reading about Jacob, I thought, God had spoken to his mother and had told his mother, you know, that she was going to bless, that he was going to bless Jacob. And, you know, and we know that Jacob was kind of a deceiver. He was kind of a, the scripture, his name means deceiver, supplanter, heel catcher, all of those kind of things. And, you know, even when Ishmael was born, Jacob, Esau, yeah, slipped my mind. When Esau was born, he was born first. And Jacob got a hold of his heel and tried to pull him back into the womb. His name means heel catcher. When they brought him out, they seen Jacob's hand on his heel. And what he was trying to do is pull him back into the room so he could be first. So I want you to know that God sometimes has people who are second born, so to speak, he wants to bless them. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus also said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Hello, them. I want you to know he gave his glory as the Son of God to you. And in the Gospel of John, it says that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become or come into being the sons of God, who were born not of will of the flesh nor will of blood, but of God. And I want you to know that's why you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when you were born again, you became that Son of God. And I tell you what, he wants to give you the glory of being a Son of God. Because he said, now, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. You know what the glory he had before the world was? He was God, fullness of God. He was God the Father, and he came as a son in flesh that he might convince man that God can be in flesh, and God's in your flesh. The very thing that animates you is the Spirit of God inside of you. If God removes that spirit, that body falls down into nothing. Praise God. Now, I'm going to go on. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled a donkey and two of his sons, two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offerings, and he rose and he went to a place where God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. Now we know, I'm going to tell you what the meaning three is in Scripture when you see it. When you see the number three, it talks about resurrection. It talks about divine completeness. And it talks about the perfection of God. And you know, we know that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, which would have been on a Friday, according to traditions, that he rose on Sunday, which would have been the third day. And, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that talks about the third day, you know. And I want you to know that anytime you see the number three in scriptures, it's talking about resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. So when he saw that day afar off, he was about to experience a resurrection. And you say, well, how did he experience a resurrection? Because he was being obedient to what God had told him to do. And Abraham said to the young men, he said, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now, he knew that God had told him to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him on an altar on Moriah. And, you know, so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Now, a lot of people want to say that his son was a little bitty boy. But I don't think he was. And I'll tell you why I don't think he was. Because he took the wood after he had prepared the wood, and he had Isaac carry the wood. Now, a little boy, you ain't going to palp. If you're going to build a fire big enough to consume somebody, you're not going to put it on a little boy and have him carry it. And I believe Isaac was either a teenager or maybe a full-grown man. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. When he got up to the place where they were going to sacrifice, But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide," and it says "for" in the King James, but I don't even think "for" should be in there. I think it should be this way: "My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And I want you to know Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, and he was showing it to Abraham right there. So the two of them, when they went, they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, he tied him up. And now imagine this, if Isaac wasn't a little teeny boy and he tied him up, and Abraham was an old man, about 100 years old, close to being 100 years old, I don't think he had to let his dad tie him up if he didn't want to. But he loved his father, and he trusted his father. And he knew that whatever his father was going to do was of God, because he knew that. Abraham was a type of the father. Isaac was a type of the son. Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. So when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built an altar, and there he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of wood. And you know, when I read that, I thought, now you know what? I didn't hear anything from Isaac in this scripture. I didn't hear Isaac screaming and saying, "What are you doing, Dad? What are you doing?" I saw someone who kept their mouth shut, who trusted their father, and when he laid him on the altar, he took a knife and was ready to plunge it into his son and to kill him and sacrifice him to the Lord. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad. Do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket and horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord shall he be provided." And in Isaiah 52:14 says this, and this is concerning Jesus here, I believe. This is a prophetic work concerning him. "And as many that were astonished at thee, thy vestige was so marred more than any man." We know they took him and they beat him. And they tortured him, and it says, "And his form was more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which has not been told, them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider." Isaiah 53:1-12 says this, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when they shall see him, there is no beauty that they should desire him." Wait a minute, you mean that good-looking picture of that artist painted of Jesus that used to hang in all the churches? He's a pretty good-looking guy. That ain't what this says. It says, "And he is despised and rejected of men, of sorrow, acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes you are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have turned everyone to his own way. And remember, I talked to you a couple weeks ago about there being two ways? There's always two ways. His way, your way. His way is the right way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Your way is the wrong way most of the time. Praise God. Everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And you know what? Isaac didn't open his mouth either. He was showing what he was going to do there. He was showing resurrection in the Old Testament. Because Abraham, before he took him up on that mountain, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and we'll return. He knew that God was going to resurrect him because God had told him that out of his son was going to come the seed of many nations and all nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And you know what? Abraham was so obedient to God. Just like God the Father knew that when Jesus came in the form of God in flesh, that all nations were going to be blessed through his sacrifice, that he would pay the price for sin in all of our lives. And I'm going to tell you what, and he paid it. The Lord gave me a song one time, and I wrote these words down. He paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all. What more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known when he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that you might live. And this life is yours today if you'll trust him and obey. He paid it all so that you might live. He paid it all. What more could he give? And you know what? People have said, I've heard people say before, how could God be so cruel as to send his son, his only son? Because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That was God standing right there in front of them in the form of flesh. Because remember when one of the disciples said to him, Lord, show us the Father, talking about God, and it'll be sufficient. And he said to him, have I been with you so long a time and you don't know me? Don't you understand that the things that I do, it's the Father, you know. And he stuck his finger in the nail prints and stuck his hand in the side, you know. And later on, because he had said, I won't believe unless I do that. I stick my hand in the nail prints, I stick my finger in the nail print and my hand in his side. I won't believe. Because he wasn't there when Jesus appeared in that room before the disciples. And Jesus, what happened? When he's in that room, Jesus appeared in the room. He didn't walk through the door. He appeared in the room. And he said, stick forth your finger and put it in the nail prints. Thrust your hand in my side. And he said, only believe. And he did it. And then what happened? He said, his reply was, my Lord and my God. He realized who Jesus was finally. That had dawned on him. All those teachings Jesus had been telling him, it began to dawn on him. And you know what, folks? I just want you to know that all of this stuff in the Old Testament, it told the whole story of what was going to happen exactly. And said, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? You know, Bill Britton had a book one time called The 42nd Generation. And in the book of Matthew, it gives the generations of all the way back, all the way up to Christ. And it counts out the generations. And he says there was 14 generations from this one to the next one, 14 generations from that one to the next one, and 14 generations there. So 3 times 14 is what? 42. Okay. But if you count them and actually count the names in there, there's only 41 there listed. And you say, well, now, wait a minute. Did God make a mistake? Because here he said, you know, he told about the generations. And it said, there shall be a seed accounted to him as a generation. Hello, seed. Hello, seed. You're that other generation. You're the 42nd generation. You're all of the Christian folks, you're the 42nd generation. Praise God. And it says here, praise the Lord. And his grave was made with wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, yet thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand at his hand. He sees his seed. You're his seed. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by the knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, in Galatians 2:20, it says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Galatians 2:20 out of the Message says this: Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. I love this part here. My ego. You know where a man gets in trouble? With his ego. Ego gets you in trouble all the time. You know, the word ego, E-G-O, if you look up the word I in Scripture, and you look it up in Strong's Concordance, you know how it's spelled? E-G-O. He wants to get the I out of you. The only I he wants in you is the I am, him. And it says, my ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it's lived by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, we were talking back in Sunday school, you know, about them running to the gravesite where they had buried Jesus. You know, they had put him in the tomb and rolled a big stone in front of him, and they actually put guards by that stone because they were afraid that someone would come and steal his body away. Well, when they ran down there, what they saw was the stone rolled away, and Peter went inside and he saw that Jesus was gone. And an angel, or it might even have been Jesus, I don't know, said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And I got news for you, folks. He rose, and that grave was empty. And it's been empty for 2,000 years, that grave. But I'm going to tell you what, he came alive. And not only did he come alive, but he came alive in you. Because when you received him as your Lord and Savior, that same spirit woke up inside of you. And when it woke up inside of you, you've been raised, you've been resurrected. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I got news for you. He dwells inside of you. That's the resurrection story. I've told it to you from the Old Testament because I wanted you to realize that's how Jesus could say, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. He was glad. And you know what? Abraham was, like I told you, was a type of the father, and Isaac was a type of the son, and Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. But I'm going to tell you what. Even the Jacob nature that's in you, the Jacob nature of the old man, when there came a time when Jacob had to cross a river called the Jabbok because God had sent him back to go back to get back into his own land. And when he crossed over that river because his brother was coming to meet him, and he knew his brother was coming to meet him, and buddy, he not only took his birthright, but he took it all. He took everything. And he took the blessing also from the father. And, you know, when he was over there, he wrestled with an angel, it said. And in some translations, it'll tell you that he wrestled with God Almighty. And it will tell you that when he wrestled, it had a hold of him and it grabbed him by his thigh. And that's a bad translation. The true word for that thigh that he grabbed, that the angel got a hold of him or the Lord got a hold of him, he grabbed him by his loins. And what happens in your loins? All the waste in your body comes out of your loins, but also new life comes out of your loins. That's how children are born, through that new life that comes out. You know. And you know what? He grabbed him by that, and I'm going to tell you, in the natural, you grab a man there and you can control him. You know, women, if a man ever mean to you, get a hold of his loins. He'll be nice. He'll holler, uncle, and he'll say, please, let me go. Please, whatever you want. Because I'm telling you what, being a man, it hurts. Or if somebody kicks you there, it hurts. And it hurts extremely well. It will take the breath right out of you. But he got him by his loins. And he said, I won't let go till you bless me. And he said, he said, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, henceforth, your name is going to be Israel. And you know what the name Israel means? If you actually study into it good, it means he shall rule as God. And when he rules as God in your life, then you are experiencing that resurrection. You're going to experience it in the fullness as God brings you to the fullness of the revelation of who and what he is in you. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to come to that place. We need to come to that understanding. And you know what? One time when Paul was teaching, he said, they are not all Israel, which are Israel. You know, he said, he quoted that scripture, but in Isaac shall your seed be called or whatever. And you know what? That's in, and like I told you, Isaac was a type of the son. He was a type of Jesus Christ. And Isaac was the son of promise. He was promised. And many nations, the whole nations of the whole world, were going to be blessed through Isaac. And like I told you, Isaac didn't do nothing. He didn't do anything in the Old Testament except redig the wells of his father. I got news for you. God was inside of every man. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. They don't always acknowledge that light. Mark was talking about darkness. They love darkness. But I tell you what, he's going to light up the light in them. And when he does, they're going to realize who and what he is and who and what they really are intended to be. Well, that's all I had to share with you today on that. We're going to have a communion. And I'm going to read you a couple scriptures here, and then they're going to bring forth the stuff for the communion. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible, okay? And it says, "And when it was time, he sat down," and this was at the Last Supper, when Jesus sat down with the supper to have the Last Supper with them. And it says, "And when it was time, he sat down all the apostles with him, and he said, 'You have no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God.' Take the cup." Taking the cup, he blessed it and said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I will not drink wine until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in memory of me." And he did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant which is written in my blood poured out for you." You know, one time Jesus stood up and he told him, he said, "Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you." And they said, "Boy, this is a hard saying. Who can receive this?" And many of them went and walked with him no more when he said that, because they didn't understand what he was saying. And you know, in our day, they say you are what you eat, don't they? That's a big saying. You are what you eat. You eat junk food, you're going to get a fat belly. You eat healthy food, you're going to stay trim, you're going to stay healthy, and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly what he was saying. "Except you partake of me, and I become such a part of you that after a while you can't recognize the difference." You know, I've told you all, Preston Eby, I love Preston Eby, brother, wonderful, wonderful teacher. And he came here and preached years ago, and one of the things that he did when he came and preached, he was talking about going in the bathroom in the morning, and I've told you all this many times, and I love this because it's so true. He said he'd go in the bathroom to shave in the morning, and later on he grew a beard, which I liked. He looked better with the beard. But... But anyway, when he went in there, he said, "I'd go in the morning to shave," and he said, "I'd stand in front of the mirror, and I'd say, 'Eby, you're a son of God. You're a son of God. You don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God.' And you know, what does a son of God look like? You know, when they were on the road to Emmaus, they walked with him miles. I don't know how many miles it was, probably quite a few miles to get there. He talked with them. They didn't know who he was. Why? Because who knows what appearance he appeared to them in? I want you to know, God doesn't have to appear no certain way when he appears. Jesus didn't have to appear no certain way when he appeared. But as soon as they got where they were going, and they asked him to eat supper with them, he took the bread, and he broke the bread and blessed it. And what happened? Their eyes were opened. And they knew it was Jesus. And after he'd done that, he disappeared out of their sight. And you know what? We have to realize that however God meets us individually, then that's okay. We don't need to have preconceived ideals of what God looks like, what Jesus looked like. What we need to do is recognize him when he speaks to us. Realize that he's not a God that's afar off. Scripture says, "Know you not, you're the temple of God." And where does God dwell? in his temple. You're lively stones built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. You're a royal generation. You're a holy priesthood. You're all of those things that God says you are in the Scriptures. And you might look in the mirror and say, oh, God, I don't look like all those things. But I want you to know, because he said it, you are. And when you start believing it more, you will come into the fullness of each one of those things. Praise God. Father, I ask you to bless this as we take these elements. And I know that you will bless them because you told us to do this in remembrance of you. And what you were really talking about, being remembered. When you remember something, if it's a part, you put it back together. You put the members back together. And I want you to know that he wants us to be remembered with him. And in type and shadow, what we're doing when we do this, we're partaking of his body. Take this and eat. This is my flesh, which was broken for you. And drink this wine. This is my blood, which was shed for you. And in the Old Testament, they were told not to eat stuff with blood in it. And the reason that they told him, he said, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I want you to know, he didn't want you eating any life of anything that was not him. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you, Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Margaret, I did good. I didn't spill none on me. I got a white shirt on. I told her, I said, maybe I should wear a black shirt today. I have a tendency, because my stomach kind of sticks out here a little bit far, that sometimes stuff falls down there and gets on my shirt. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, I just ask you to bless your people. I ask that truly your will be done in each one of our lives, that we all come to the realization of who and what we are in Christ, and that we acknowledge you in all of our ways and you direct our paths. I give you all praise, all glory, and honor, and I just speak a special blessing upon all of the people, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Go and have a wonderful day.